It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This week, I spoke to Green Party co-leader James Shaw about a few different things. Last week, we talked about the passing of the Zero Carbon Act, so I wanted to know what the government's next steps were for climate action and what the state of the international movement for climate action is now like since the US has pulled out of the Paris Agreement. We also discussed the resignation of MP Gareth Hughes and the new Sustainability New Zealand Party. I began by asking James what the government's next steps are for climate action.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of technical things we need to do, like appoint some commissioners and so on. We've also got another very big piece of legislation going through the House called the Emissions Trading Scheme Reform Bill to fix the ETS, because that hasn't really worked in the 10 years that we've had it. And that's actually a really major piece of work. But actually, attention now has to move on to all of the things that are actually going to reduce our emissions, like electrifying our car fleet, for example, and helping our kind of big industrial users to switch out of coal and gas and onto renewable electricity, those sort of things.
Now, let's turn to international climate action. The United States has formally begun its withdrawal from the Paris Agreement. Will the agreement still have force without the US?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting that there has been quite a counter-reaction to the United States' decision to withdraw, which is that other countries are actually increasing their levels of ambition and saying, look, we've got to keep this thing going. In particular, the European Union, China, and others have really started to step up where the US has stepped back.
Do you think it was a surprise that the US stepped out?
No. I mean, they signalled this very shortly after Donald Trump was elected back in 2016. And, of course, the way that they've timed it, the decision to withdraw takes effect the day after the next presidential election at the end of next year. And so it just gives us yet one more reason to hope that there is a new president elected who will rescind that order and keep them in.
So there is a possibility that that could happen. So even though that they've said they're going to withdraw, a new president could come back and say, no, we're not going to withdraw.
That's right. And if you look at, obviously, as we know from 2016, anything can happen in a presidential election in the US. If you kind of look at where things stand at the moment, there is a reasonably good chance that the next president will be a Democrat, and pretty much all of the Democratic candidates have signaled quite strong intentions to really pick up their climate action. And so, if there is a Democrat elected, then I think it's likely that they'll be able to turn that around.
What are your thoughts on the United States' commitment to climate action currently? The Secretary of State has said we will continue to work with our global partners to enhance resilience of the impacts of climate change, despite withdrawing from the Paris Agreement. Do you think that that really shows a true commitment to climate action or not?
Well, I mean, the issue is, when you talk about the United States, who are you talking about? They're anything but united, in particular when it comes to climate change policy. So, for example, at the moment, the federal government is suing the state of California over California's progressive action on climate change. And, then you've got states like California, New York State, and others that are amongst the kind of leading jurisdictions in the world in terms of their ambitions to, reduce emissions, switch to renewables, and so on. And so at the state and the city level, there's huge amounts of action occurring inside the United States. And actually, as a whole, the US is going to meet their 2020 emissions reduction target in spite of, the federal government and their attachment to the coal industry. So, it's not all bad news coming out of the US. As we see, anything can happen. So we all kind of keep our fingers crossed and hope that eventually the federal government catches up with the rest of the country.
So what are the next steps for the Paris Agreement, despite the US withdrawing?
Well, it's kind of down to action, right? So the UN conference in a few weeks' time, that's now happening in Spain, There's one area that we need to tidy up from the Paris Agreement kind of rule book that we agreed last year. We got everything except one section over the line, so we're going to try and do that this year. And then next year is the year that it kicks off. There's going to be a lot of attention next year on the commitments that countries have made, and do they add up to keeping temperatures within 1.5 degrees of global warming. And so I think you'll see a lot of pressure exerted on countries that are kind of dragging the chain a bit.
So let's move on to Green Party MP Gareth Hughes. The Greens' longest-serving MP has announced he will be retiring from politics at the next election. What are your thoughts on his resignation?
Yeah, look, it's sad to see him go because Gareth has been a leading member of the Green Caucus. It'll be 10 years in February. And so he is our longest current serving Member of Parliament. He's a great strategist, a great campaigner, and has been a really kind of steady hand inside the caucus. And, you know, as he said, his kids are growing up, and if he does another term, then his oldest son will be 16 and will have, you know, Gareth will have been in Parliament pretty much his entire life. And so, you know, he really wants to spend time with his kids while they're still kids, and I completely understand that. And 10 years is a long time. You know, by the time the next election rolls around, it'll be 11 years. None of our MPs have done more than 12. I completely understand his reasoning for wanting to step back at this time.
Now, Gareth has said that the government has not been transformational this term. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, he said that it's been transformational in pockets, and I would agree with that. You know, things like the zero carbon bill passing the House without opposition, some of the stuff that we're doing in terms of lifting incomes and reducing unemployment, the work that we're doing in housing, you know, although it's been slow to get started, ultimately will turn out that way. But I agree. You know, and the Greens as a whole have been saying, you know, we want to go further and we want to go faster as a whole. And the reality of MP is that in a multi-party coalition, you know, there are a lot of compromises, and Gareth did talk about that in his interviews.
Let's move on to Sustainable New Zealand, just briefly. Sustainable New Zealand is a new environmentally focused party. Do you think that it's going to be any challenge to the Green Party?
No.
No? No, well, why is that?
Well, because... let's say that you're voting on environmental grounds, right? You're voting for climate action, you're voting for conservation, you're voting to clean up our rivers and so on. These are all things that the Green Party is in government and is delivering on. So the question is, why would you switch your vote from a party that is actually delivering on all of those things in government to a new party that has almost no chance of getting above the 5% threshold? It's a really weird choice to make. If you are an environmentalist who wants a national-led government, then, you know, probably the Green Party isn't the party for you right now. But the question is, you're probably already voting for National. So I think, you know, if the new party is to get off the ground, then the place where it's going to get its votes from is the National Party.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, where you thought the votes would come from, because the leader, Vernon Tava, has said that he's very confident that they'll hit the 5% mark and that those votes will come from people that are uncertain of who to vote for. But do you think that that's not really the case and that it'll probably be National Party voters?
Well, I guess the question, yeah, that's right. I mean, the question is, where are these people who are uncertain who they're voting for? Are they non-voters? Are they... You know, it's a tough call. You know, I've said this before about Vernon's party is that basically people who aren't voting are voting for the environment first and foremost, are voting for the Green Party right now, and there's no real incentive for them to switch away because we're actually doing what it is that they want us to do. But people who are strongly in favour of a national-led government who also happen to be environmentalists don't really have anywhere other than the National Party to vote for. And so, you know, that new party may be a maybe an option for them.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.